Before the news, we were talking about the huge compensation bill the NHS has to pay every year, over £1 billion a year, around 1% of the annual budget. Susan Cameron-Blackie has strong views on this and has certainly earned the right to express them. I'm afraid she's been given 3 months to live after being diagnosed with cancer of the soft tissue, which has spread throughout her body. In the course of her treatment, there have arguably been a couple of occasions when things weren't done properly, the wrong decisions were taken, the wrong procedures follows, and she might have sued, but she didn't sue. And Suzanne, who's 68, has now decided to spend the final weeks of her life urging patients not to just automatically sue the health service when things go wrong. Suzanne's been good enough to join us. I'm sorry for all your troubles, Suzanne. It's really good of you to come on. Just tell us, have you ever been close to suing the NHS for shortcomings in your treatment?
No, not even close. I was born in the same month that the NHS was created. And until something like 20 years ago, there was never any question of suing the NHS. The subject didn't exist. So for me, I grew up in a culture that, yes, the NHS did make mistakes, but suing them was not an option.
And in the course of your treatment, we won't get sort of bogged down in the details of what may or may not have gone wrong, but has anyone suggested to you, well, you should sue for that? Has a law firm come metaphorically knocking on your door? Have you been? Have you had money dangled in front of you?
After the last incident, the first I knew that a mistake had been made was somebody from within the hospital, somebody from legal services, coming and formally informing me that they had made this mistake.
And what did you say to them?
Well, that it was a mistake, it had happened, it was in the past, I had no interest. I've been on a high dependency ward for the last almost 2 weeks. I have been watching those nurses dancing on a pinhead to keep 16 patients who were all in the same condition as I was, not from the same reasons, but all in the same condition, and that any one of us could have keeled over at any moment, and the stress and the strain that two understaffed staff nurses and two healthcare assistants go through to manage 16 patients in that condition. I mean, the last thing I would think of doing is suing them when they make a mistake.
I don't know,
they almost can't help but make a mistake.
One of the arguments advanced just before the news, I don't know whether you were listening to us, was that...
I wasn't, I'm sorry.
Well, that's okay. That the NHS doesn't help itself because it's reluctant to just look somebody, you know, people like you in the eye and say, look, we made a mistake here, we're sorry, we're going to learn from it. That is never said, presumably
it can't be said.
Yes.
Cannot be said, because the moment that is said, that is admitting liability.
And has that ever been?
But
have you ever?
Yeah. Is preventing that from being said.
And was it ever been said to you anything sort of approximating that? Did anyone give you an explanation and said, "Look, this went wrong"? But it sounds as though you just accepted it was and just wanted to move on from it.
I would genuinely rather not discuss that, because if I was to reveal any form of apology or anything amounting to that towards me, it would result in severe censure of the nursing staff involved. So no, I'm not going to answer your question. Hmm. Why should they get in trouble for being sorry?
Another argument advanced was that if you don't have this sort of Damocles hanging over them, with having to pay for their mistakes, then that won't focus their minds and more mistakes will happen. You know, I don't know whether that's the case. What's your thought? Personally, I think
it's nonsense on stilts. What happened following the mistake that was made with me is that a full CQC, Care and Quality Control Commission, arrived the next day, and the entire ward and all the nursing staff were put under even more stress because every last full stop, every last cross T was checked, double checked, treble checked. It wasn't my doing. I mean, I didn't make a complaint. In fact, I wasn't aware that a mistake had been made. I was aware, obviously, of what had happened to me, but I wasn't aware that it was as a result of a mistake. But the response of the CQC was quite extraordinary, and rightly so. They looked into every last aspect of how it could possibly have occurred. That's got nothing to do with suing.
So I wonder if many people don't take the same view as you in the beginning, especially if it's not something where you might have a gravely ill child who needs, you know, a lifetime of very expensive care. Let's set aside those extreme cases where, you know, I think we would agree compensation is necessary just to allow people to live their lives.
Well, but no, I you see, I disagree with
you. Disagree
right
again.
At that point.
Well, how are they supposed to pay for the care of the of
what you are confusing is the damage and the fault. You can have two children with exactly the same damage, two totally heartrending cases that would make your heart bleed. But it is only the one where fault can be attached that can sue. And yet both children will receive exactly the same care from the NHS. So this whole business of suing the NHS is not attached to the damage. It's attached to whether fault can be apportioned.
Okay, but I take your point on that, but just to go back to what I said before, I think a lot of people do would take your view in the first place, but then money sort of focuses minds, arguably in the wrong way, doesn't it? Then somebody comes up to them and said, look, I heard what's happened. You know, you could get 50,000 for this. You could get 200,000 for this. Mm-hmm. You know, people do fall for that. You know, I would fall for that. I'm not taking any high moral ground here. You're apparently one of the few people who doesn't just will not go down that route because you consider it morally wrong. But people tend to, don't they?
Well, they do, because we have a compensation culture now. But if you're old enough to go back 25 years, they didn't. It is only since this compensation culture has crept over the country that people think like that. When you go into the NHS, you don't buy a lottery ticket. You know, maybe you get five winning numbers, something's gone wrong and you get a big payout, or you've only got three numbers, well, you only get 20 grand. Mm-hmm. It's not a lottery. We want a National Health Service that will provide care, but we're turning it into a commercial business that is expected to compensate for its mistakes, which... And the compensation doesn't stop the same mistake being made again. It just means that one lucky person managed to prove fault and walked off with a tump of money.
Having taken your stance, and you've been in the newspapers and speaking to me now, what kind of response have you had? Have people reached out and in agreement with you?
Yes. In fact, I have to say the only comments I've seen on social media that disagreed with me were from people who genuinely misunderstand that if you don't sue the NHS, somehow you miss out. You know, people would be saying to me, but yes, but you might need a special wheelchair. If you need a special wheelchair, the NHS provide it. I'm speaking to you from my kitchen in what is effectively an intensive care bed, maintained by nurses round the clock, doing everything they could conceivably do for me. And I'm not suing the NHS.
And you're,
this is what they do for people.
And to be clear, your sort of intensive care kitchen, as you describe it, is paid for by the NHS.
Absolutely. I was talking to a friend a couple of days ago who I'm aware has a son who was born with cerebral palsy. That son is now 25 years old. He lives an independent life in a sheltered housing unit paid for by the NHS. He's learnt to drive. He has a car. The NHS paid for the driving lessons. He's had flying lessons. He's learning to shoot, paid for by the NHS. And they will continue to support him all his life. Because that is what he needs. Not because somebody proved fault and sued them.
Okay, Suzanne, it's a real privilege to speak to you. Thank
you. And I'm sorry my voice is so hoarse and harsh.
No, you've got a lovely voice, I've got to tell you. So, listen, I wish you well, and thank you very much indeed for your time, and, you know, keep in touch with us if there are developments, if you are reached out to in interesting ways. We'd like to hear about it.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much indeed. That's Suzanne Cameron Blackie. We're getting lots of calls on this from people very supportive. We've got lawyers who agree and disagree. We'll try to get them on a little bit later.